Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, as we bring on our local leaders in our community, I'm so proud to have in our studio today Mr. Jim White, who is the Executive Director of Covenant House. Jim, welcome to the program.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Before we jump into the great work that you're doing here at Covenant House, and I must say, ladies and gentlemen, when I say my studio, we are in the actual facility in Covenant House at 331 Washington Street.
330 Washington.
330 yeah. Washington Street. Yeah, thank you. Could you share with our audience a little bit about your education background and experience and how you came to Covenant House?
Yeah, sure. I think I can do that if I can remember back then. So, I grew up in Queens, in Flushing, Queens. I went to St. Francis Prep, and then I went to Mercy College in Westchester. I had a tennis scholarship there. I'm one of six kids, so scholarship is a good thing. So I did that and loved it there. And then I went on for my MBA at LIU. I got my MBA. Then after my MBA, I felt very blessed in my life, and I wanted to give back. And I really didn't have enough courage to go to the Peace Corps and go across. So I joined what's called Covenant House's Faith Community. It's a volunteer program. So I did that for a year, or 18 months rather, and then I fell in love with the work, and so I stayed on as paid staff for a couple of years. But then having my MBA, I decided to go to Wall Street, and I worked at Bear Stearns, Barrett, for 4 years when it was thriving.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I had a moment of crisis. My sister got very, very ill, and I had a middle-age crisis at the age of 29 and decided that Wall Street wasn't for me. And I left Wall Street and got my MSW in counseling and therapy from Stony Brook and came back to work at Covenant House.
And so you've been here at Covenant House how many years now?
Well, I started in 82, mm-hmm. But then had a four-year trip to Wall Street and then back. So I've been there. Yeah, I've been involved since then.
So let's talk about Covenant House. A lot of folks probably know the name. They certainly know the logo. Mm-hmm. But they necessarily don't know what the mission of Covenant House is. Mm-hmm. Can you share that with our audience?
Yeah, so our mission is to serve homeless and runaway youth, and to really provide them all the services that are necessary to stabilize, but also to be a reflection of God's love to them, to kind of celebrate and recognize the dignity that is within them, the divinity that is them, and to provide encouragement and love and support their worthiness in the world. But also, it's a two-pronged, really, approach, or three-pronged, in that we have to provide services, so we have medical and legal and job training and education and vocation and all those things, therapy and all sorts of different intervention strategies. Most of our kids who come to us have seen some real trauma in their life. So our goal is to provide them not only the services, but to connect in relationship and to let them know they're not alone. We've learned that their greatest poverty is often their aloneness. So we deal with kids under the age of 21, 18 to 21. About 30%+ of our kids are kids from foster care.
Foster care.
Yeah, so a foster care experience. We just did a study, the longest and largest study of its kind on trafficking youth that we just put out. We finished that about a month ago. And trying to deepen our understanding of who our young people are so to better serve them, better get next to them.
Speaking of trafficking, mm-hmm. the famous New York Yankee manager, the gentleman who's retired now.
I'm a Met fan, so you're on your own.
I know, I'm a Met fan too. It will come to me, but he has a foundation called Safe at Home.
Joe Torre?
Joe Torre.
Yeah, yeah.
And he commissioned a film called Stuck in Traffic about trafficking of youth. And my daughter happened to get the part of playing the role of Cassie.
Oh, wow, how cool.
But I've always have been aware of the trafficking issue. Mm. I just wasn't aware of how prevalent it was. Mm. How do you deal with the trafficking issue here at Covenant House? I guess the social workers, they bring children to you, or
no kid is mandated to come here. You know, the kids have to come on their own. They're not forced to come here or required to come here. We think that's real important because we want to empower their ability to choose their path in their life. And then they have to kind of, you know, comply to the rules because we don't have to keep you here either. It's all about relationship. So young people, most kids who come to us find out about us from other kids. That's really kind of the largest referral source.
But the age group is 18 to 21.
If they're under 18, and we do find a lot in our outreach programs, we find kids under 18, then that would be brought to the government entity, DIFAS, or whoever is there to provide that service.
I see. And so when you said that a lot of your young folks that are here, they're from the foster care, is that the foster care situation just didn't work out for them?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, for a lot of kids who age out of foster care at the age of 18, don't have the skill sets or the stable, you know, living environment, they're not ready to live on their own, so they're really unable to do that, and then they fall to homelessness. Yeah.
And so when you look at the programs that you provide here for these youth, is there like a regimented curriculum that you have that someone who comes at the age of 18 that they go through, and then at some point hopefully they graduate, or what is the process like?
Yeah, so the first process is no questions asked, and we give them food, clothing, shelter, a safe place. Many of them want to just brush their teeth, take a shower, and just feel normal again. So we give them that space. That's really the first step. And then they often eat pretty aggressively.
Right.
You know, so we try to do that, again, with no questions asked. And then we begin to connect and start to peel away, you know, peel through some of the struggles that they have and assess, you know, what their needs are and often what their strengths are, too. You know, I think one of the things we say here is that the least interesting thing about our kids is their homelessness. You know, they have great resilience, many of them. And many of them don't, you know, many of them experience trauma that really puts them in a bad mental state. So we deal with a lot of mental health issues. But what we start to do is just to look at what their strengths are and what their challenges are and where they want to be and try to help them move to that, you know, to give them the power that they need to choose, but also options.
Yes.
These kids don't have a lot of options. So that's really the work. So for some of our kids, they want to go home. And that's our path, and we try to work with the reunification of the family. Some kids may have mental health issues that they need services on. Some want their own apartment. We do that a lot. Some kids want to go to college. Some kids have drug or alcohol issues that need to be addressed, and that's a journey, and we kind of begin that path with them. So it's not a cookie cutter kind of thing because we deal with kids. Because we take everybody, we get everybody.
Yeah.
And so we have rock star kids who are tremendously talented and, you know, just kind of need a little support. And then we have other kids who have serious issues, you know, serious trauma issues and lack education and lack skills and have been bounced around or been living on the street for a period of time. And so that's a different path. So, but it's an individualized path, you know, for each one. And we have to empower them to choose their path. So that's really kind of the philosophy by which we do. But we do have a really cool thing that we've just embarked on, and that's called our Dove Learning Center, where we're really teaching our young people resilience, which can be taught. So we're teaching them things about relationship and how to work in relationship from a boss, right? Somebody in charge or a landlord or even your next door neighbor. How do you relate? Some of our kids lack that skill set.
I find a lot of adults.
Yeah, yeah,
I did a seminar with an industry colleague last week to a bunch of publishing professionals on managing conflict for your career growth.
Ooh, well, we got to get you in here.
We love to anytime.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime.
So we really want to help them grow with vocation. Will be one you need to be able to have that skill in. education, but there's also body, mind, and spirit.
Yes.
You know, how do you taking care of your body, health issues, and your mind? And, you know, we do meditation and yoga. We have all sorts of programs.
Beautiful.
Yeah, to try to get them to, and expose them. You know, a lot of them haven't been exposed to, you know, other, you know, a lot of things in the world. So that's important. You know, financial literacy is a key thing that kids need to learn if you're going to live in the world. So that's one of our primary focuses. So, and some kids are GED bound and some are college bound, but many of them are not. And so, and they're not with us for an extended period of time. The average length of stay is about a little less than 2 months. But some kids stay 6 months, some kids stay 2 days. And again, it's their choice.
It's their choice.
And they, some of them kind of come and then they go back to the street and then they come back again. So that's part of growing up, you know, mistakes and doubt and fear. And we just need to be consistent in our care and our messaging, you know, of their worthiness and the opportunities that are there for them.
As we were walking through to this beautiful training room that you have here, I noticed the relationships that you have with everyone.
Yeah.
It's very positive, very upbeat, and very personal.
Yeah, I mean, we think that what's essential, our kids are smart, they're street smart, they see, they watch, much more sensitive to social cues than you or I, because they've had to survive. And so they see how we care for each other, you know. And so to be authentic, do you, you know, you could care for a young person, but then if they see you treat your staff people poorly, there's an inconsistency. And that's not really why we do it. We do it because we know that community is essential in this, that we often say that you as an employee here are a very important piece, but you are just a piece. So there's this humility of you're part of something larger, and yet there's a pride that you're important to the work here. And everyone does play a role in this. We've learned that over time. You know, we had a young person once who was in a very difficult spot and kind of a suicidal spot, and they reached out for the maintenance man. They wanted to talk to our maintenance guy. You know, I was shocked. I said, what about our social workers? You know, and no, he had a connection to this maintenance man. And isn't that beautiful?
That's,
you know,
beautiful.
Just that it's a community of caring adults. And we think that's really important. So, you know, and the work is hard. You know, we go to a lot of funerals and we bury a lot of young people. And that's why we need to have our brother and sister there to nurture and support us. Because when you do this work, you often experience the darkness. And you need your brother and sister to kind of be with you in that tough time.
Talking about death is always tough. But these young folks, the ones who have passed on, was it because of drugs? Was it because of violence?
Yeah, all those things, you know, all those things happen to them. Suicide, you know, their lack of connection to the world, you know, all sorts of things. The pain that they experience, the stress, the mental health challenges, many of our kids have really experienced horror. And to believe in the world again, to believe that the world is kind and that it's nurturing and it's is often a big step for our young people. And many of them take it, but some get lost in their own the darkness, I would say. You know, and it takes different forms, from drugs to mental health. Some of our young people struggling with their own sexual identity and the lack of acceptance of that. We've just experienced about a month ago. So there's a, you know, is it all different reasons of why it happens? There's not one, which makes the work complex.
So complex, but every conversation is important because you just never know when it will make a difference, or if you're not there, where the individual might decide to take their own life.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, the work is humbling. You know, we are an important piece, but just a piece.
Yeah.
So there's that. And that's an important thing to learn, too. And we believe in our work, in our tradition, faith tradition, that God holds us all. And so our job is really to do our piece to it. But that's our job, you know.
You know, at Seton Hall University, we pride ourselves on servant leadership.
Mm.
And similar to that is that, you know, we all play an important role, but we play a role. And
yeah.
It's important that we play that role well.
Right. Yeah. We in terms of leadership, one of our concepts is that the organizational chart is upside down, that it's not me at the top and the pyramid down, but rather upside down and with our kids at the top, our staff who are really supporting them and interfacing with them on a daily basis, and everybody else is kind of looking up of how do we lift these young people up and support them in their journey, and that we're all kind of servants to the people who are above us. And so I got everybody. Above me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Mr. Jim White, the executive director of Covenant House here at Newark at 330 Washington Street. I believe you have an annual campaign to raise funds. How does Covenant House get its funding?
I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, it really
is. You know, we're very different than other nonprofits in this sector because we only get about 17% of our funds from government, and where most of organizations that do our work, it's opposite. So they get 80% government and there are 20% on the private sector. We're vast. We have an annual budget of over $10 million. We serve thousands of kids a year. We're in Atlantic City. We're in
hometown.
Oh, is it?
My hometown. Born and raised, yes.
Yeah, well, you better get back there. They need you. It's a tough town. It's going through some real tough stuff.
You know, my mom is 92.
Oh.
And my sister, Shemaine Gunter Garrett, she used to be the director of health for Mayor Whalen, now
yes.
Senator Whalen.
Yes, sure.
She has the Rites of Passage program.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I know. How cool is that?
She is a great woman.
She helped us make that happen.
Did she?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to let her know that.
And it's thriving. We've seen hundreds of kids through that program now who've stabilized and moved forward. But we're in Atlantic City. Uh-huh. Oh, please do. Send her our love.
She's having an event, I think, next week, celebrating 20 years of doing our Rites of Passage program, which I'm happy I just reminded myself because I need to mark my calendar because I got to be there.
You better be there. Yeah. And they'll talk about you at the family parties.
That's right.
So we are in Atlantic City. We're also in Camden.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we're in Asbury Park, and we're building a Rites of Passage program there. We're really excited about that with our partners, Interfaith.
Okay.
We have a mental health program in Montclair called Nancy's Place.
Yes. Yep.
Elizabeth, we have our Moms and Babies program.
Wow.
We took over a convent and filled it with moms and women who come to us pregnant.
Yes.
And then
yes.
we help them through the birthing process and have them stay in that important bonding period and really connect to their babies. Yeah, it really is kind of cool. And then we're in Jersey City, and we hope to expand there as well. We're here in Newark in full form. We'll house over 170 people tonight. We'll be off the streets because of our work, and again, 1,000 over the year. So we're busy.
That is awesome. And so how can folks contribute, both monetarily but also volunteering?
Yeah, so our Dove Learning Center, which I spoke about before, is really our hot item, and we need volunteers to come and to serve. We invite all types and anyone who wants to come and serve. We would ask that you come with a service mentality, you know, like if we need you to sweep, then
that's right.
grab a broom.
That's
and
right.
if you can do that in that spirit of service, we'd that's love right. to have you. If you come with a real, I need to do my thing, then it might fit, but we're looking for people who are flexible and bring their gifts, and we'll leverage those gifts, but have a spirit of service.
You know, years ago, I remember Mr. Frank, and he was part of the Atlantic City Mission, the Westside Youth Center, and he made a big difference in my life and the lives of other folks in our neighborhood.
Yeah,
and he had that spirit of whatever needed to be done, he and his wife
would get done.
And he taught us that as well.
Yeah, that's a great lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So volunteerism is one of the key things, but we have to raise, you know, a lot of money every year. Mm-hmm. So I'm the chief beggar here.
Yes.
And so people do all sorts of things for us. We one of our exciting fundraising opportunities is a sleep out.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask people to sleep out We have moms and, I mean, women sleep out. Yeah. We have a young professional sleep out. Mm-hmm. We have an executive sleep out. We have school sleep outs, and so many of the schools have slept out, high schools, and so you sleep out in solidarity
with our
young people who have had to sleep out, many of them in the streets, and we do it safe and all, but mm-hmm. then you raise money for us, and that's been a tremendous fundraiser. And then we have our Night of Broadway Stars, which is our big fundraiser.
Right.
That's on June 7th.
Okay, and June 7th.
June
it's
7th,
coming up.
Okay. Coming up. So that's looking for corporate sponsors. That's a great event. And we have a lot of friends in the Broadway community who come and perform and sing, and our kids join them. It's pretty cool.
And where is that held?
That's at the PAC, yeah, Performing Arts Center in Newark. Yeah, so that's it. And then people send us their generous donations regularly, and that's essential, and that keeps us going. But, you know, it's the generosity and kindness of people who join us in this mission who are sending the message that kids are worthy and that they're worth the investment. And, you know, we are good stewards of those funds. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we do so well with our fundraising, because people know it's going to serve kids. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, but it's a never ending.
Yes.
When Jesus said, the poor will always be with us. And sorry to say, I think that is the case, but we have an unbelievable opportunity to meet these extraordinary souls and to serve them and to see them transcend the darkness and move into light.
For the folks that come through Covenant House and go to college, have they been able to come back to talk to the youth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a couple of staff people who were residents here who come back, and they're on as full-time staff. So we have about three of them now. But yeah, we are trying to do more and more of that. What I'd love to do is to get our alumni. So if alumni who are listening, please reach out to me. But we'd like to get videos of them, because often our young people, when you're in the midst of the horror of it all, you can't see a way out. You don't think it's going to get better. Is this ever going to change for me? And to hear people say, yeah, I was there. I get it. I know the darkness. I've been in that despair. And I'm okay. You can get through it if you seek a vision for yourself and listen and work hard and mm-hmm. believe and mm-hmm. work hard. You can, you can get out of that. And so I think that's an important message. So a lot of our alumni do that, but we haven't done the best job, if I had to say, to be critical. I think staying connected to our alumni, we haven't done the best job at it. And that's something we're going to have to strengthen. So,
well, I tell you, with some of the tools that are available now,
yeah,
it makes it somewhat a little easier.
Oh yeah, we can make this happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Coursera?
I'm not.
Coursera is it's an online learning tool, and they have thousands of courses that are free.
Oh wow.
There's something called a MOOC, Massive Online Open Course, and in there there are whatever you want to learn. It's there. The reason why I bring this up is that recently I had a woman by the name of Barbara Oakley that I interviewed for my radio program. And she's a New York Times bestselling author. She has a book called Mind Shift. And she and another professor have the largest online course called How to Learn. And I've been reading her books, and I've been listening to her podcast.
Mm.
And she helps an individual to truly understand how they can learn at their pace.
Oh, great.
And so I'm kind of becoming like the Pied Piper.
Beautiful.
Where we can help. You can help someone to understand their personality and understand how they have to learn.
How cool. Yeah. Well, we have to tap into that. One of the objectives of our Dove Learning Center is called blended learning.
Yes.
And so what we've learned with our young people is that they all learn very differently.
Yes,
and so, and to teach them not only with one strategy of learning, so for example, a game would be a strategy of learning, classroom would be another strategy, individual tutoring would be another strategy, problem solving, working together in groups. So these are all strategies by which to learn. And what we've learned, pretty interesting, we did a deep study on it. It's not a scientific study, but it was just for our own learning. That when we did this blended learning, those kids who had serious trauma levels, we used a test called the ACE score, okay, which measures your trauma experiences. So we saw that. That's something we're really looking at, how do kids in trauma learn? Mm-hmm. And what we were able to see that the kids who had experienced significant trauma did poorly in the classroom, below average. Yet when they learned by two other blended learning strategies, mm-hmm, they achieved more, a higher grade, if you will, than the average, which was, for us, was just fascinating. So I'm really interested in becoming a student
yes,
of your past interviewee.
Yeah.
And she
is a phenomenal, phenomenal person. I happen to be reading the New York Times section, uh-huh, the book section, and I'm always looking for guests.
Right.
And I connected with her on LinkedIn, and she immediately responded back, and I had her on a program. And it's going to air in the next couple of weeks. But
great. I'll have to tune in.
Yeah, she's something else. But her course, it's free.
Yeah. Well, that's so beautiful. I think, you know, this, the world is sharing, you know,
yes,
from Wikipedia to Khan Academy, all these great opportunities. So,
well, you know,
beautiful.
It's interesting because I don't want to get away from Covenant House.
No, sir. I'm interested.
I'm in the publishing space.
We can put
space.
It on pause.
No. I'm in the publishing space, and the publishing K-12 higher education is going through a real problem right now because their content is great, but their business model's broke. And so what's happening is that students are turning away from their content.
Mm.
So they have to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. I think blended learning, what we're learning here. And so what we've learned, which is kind of cool, is that resilience can be taught.
Yes.
You can learn those skills, and that's been scientifically proven. So we need to teach those skills. And then we also know that blended learning. So we've found people who've done resilience,
mm-hmm,
and we have found people who've done blended learning. But we haven't found people who've done resilience with blended learning.
Yes.
So
yeah,
we're kind of, we feel like we're pioneers. We hate to be pioneers because we'd love other people to be out ahead of us. But
here's a fundraising idea for you.
Go ahead.
You pull that program together, and that's a program that you can license out to folks.
Yeah.
Constant revenue flow.
Yeah, yeah. I love that idea. Yeah. We got some work to do. We haven't crystallized it yet, but we're in the making of it, and it's an exciting venture.
We are actually getting close to the end of the interview.
Mm.
Jim, what other thoughts would you like to leave with our audience about Covenant House? And also, please give us your website.
Sure. I guess that, you know, that I think the only way in these difficult times, you know, when people feel overwhelmed with the fear of the future and where we're going as a country, I think that there's an invitation to act within, you know, do what you can with where you are. And I think that, you know, the Stephen Covey stuff of circle of influence, circle of concern, you know, everyone's concerned about the world, but I think we have to look at what we can do. And I think Covenant House is a conduit for people to do, to come and to connect and to care about young people. And there's other opportunities, too. We're not the only need in town or game in town, for sure. But I think that this is an opportunity. Let us not get lost in our fear, but let us get lost in our faith and be faithful to, you know, our brothers and sisters on the planet. And to serve, it's good for the heart. You know, when I was on Wall Street, I used to get up on Sunday afternoon, right after the Jet game, I started to get a pit in my stomach because
right,
Monday's coming, you know?
Right.
And I don't get that in this service world. You know, I never get that. I'm always excited,
yes,
to come to this place and to meet our staff and to, you know, it's hard, it's work, but it's meaningful. And I think people have to find that in the world, to find meaning by serving others. It's a good way to live.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the program.
Oh, it was great.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jim White, the Executive Director of Covenant House. And remember, if you've missed any part of this show, it's going to be up on iTunes U at Seton Hall University, Leadership with Darrell Gunter. Jim, thanks again.
Darrell, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it wraps it up for this weekend on Leadership with Darrell Gunter. I want you to have a great weekend, but always remember, leadership begins with you. WSOU 89.5 FM.